connected to the life of the church. Inspiration comes through the large groups. Healing comes through the small groups. Did you catch that? Some of y'all need more than just inspiration. I know I need more than just inspiration. I need healing. Can I get amen? Inspiration comes through the large gatherings. Healing comes through the small gatherings. It's only for 6 weeks. They start the week of January 7th. They are Sunday sermon based. We're starting a new Sunday sermon series next week entitled I Love My Kingdom Church. And we're going to be learning what it means to be a kingdom church, a kingdom church. Not every church is a kingdom church. Not every church is a kingdom church. Some churches are museums. You'll get that later. Some churches are country clubs. Not every church is a kingdom church. Some churches are gangs. Whoa. I knew I was going to take you deep on that one right there. But come back next Sunday. I want to challenge you to commit the first 6 weeks of 2018 to the Lord, in the house of the Lord, as we study the Word of God together and learn what it means to be a kingdom church. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 is going to be our focus today as we wind up this year, 2017. And I'm believing that God has a word for you this afternoon to encourage you and challenge you to realign you. How many of you know sometimes we need realignment? I'm learning that in my truck, that I can't just run over stuff and think that everything is going to stay straight. You run over a couple stuff in life, your alignment gets messed up. And so I thank God that our church, part of the reason, not the only reason, but part of the reason why we gather is to allow God to realign us, because we be swerving. If you can't say amen, say ouch. And so I'm praying that this word realigns some of us. And we're going to start off in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12. It reads like this. I'm reading the New King James Version. Apostle Paul, he's actually the writer, inspired by the Holy Ghost. And he writes from prison. Yeah, he writes from prison. We don't know exactly the details of his environment, but we know that it wasn't a good environment. It was some form of imprisonment. You know, there's people in the Bible that have been to prison, right? There's people in the Bible, let me say, have been incarcerated. So he writes this letter and this segment to the church at Philippi to kind of realign us, And he gives us inspiration from a cell. This is what he says. He says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on. I love that about Apostle Paul, because in reality, Apostle Paul was a deep, deep brother. He was very educated. If he was alive today, we would call him Dr. Paul. And he learned the revelation of the New Testament from Jesus himself. When Paul got converted, Jesus, through a vision, took him to the Arabian desert and for an amount of time taught him the New Testament revelation himself. And what I see in this opening phrase is a moment of transparency where this great apostle says, hey, I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. Some of y'all ought to have praised the Lord for that, because if Apostle Paul was not there yet, we don't need to be hitting ourselves over the head because we have not arrived either. Can I get an amen? And sometimes I think we try to hold ourselves to this impossible standard. And when we mess up, we end up hitting ourselves too hard. Sometimes you do got to hit yourself, don't get me wrong. But we end up hitting ourselves too wrong because we think we have to be, you know, a certain way. And we do need to be a certain way, but I just want to remind you, there ain't no Christian alive that has arrived yet. Ain't no Christian alive that has arrived yet. Apostle Paul said it. He in a moment of transparency, he said, hey, I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. But then he goes, but. Someone say but. He says, but I press on. In other words, I'm not there yet, but I don't use my not there yet as an excuse to continue to mess up. I'm not there yet. I'm broken just like you, but I'm not satisfied with this brokenness. I know God has something more for me. I press on. I'm not there yet, but I'm ready to move forward. I'm not there yet, but I'm ready to whoop on 2018. I may have messed up in 2017. I may have dropped the ball a couple of times, but I'm ready to press on. I'm ready to whoop on 2018. 2017, it got me here and there. I'll admit, I'll be transparent, man. I messed up sometimes and I dropped the ball. I got slugged on. I got socked on. I don't know where that came from. But hey, but God has given me some breath. And if the Lord says the same, man, we're going to bust 2018 wide open. Man, it's only about 5 more, 10 more hours or so. All I got to do is hold my breath. That's all I got to do. I just got to hold my breath. It's coming. It's coming. I just got to hold my breath, and I'm ready. I'm ready to press on. I'm not there yet, but I'm ready to press on. He says that I may lay hold, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. When you study Apostle Paul's writings, you will learn that he was a sports fan. Yeah, I said that. He was a sports fan. Many times in Apostle Paul's writings, he uses illustrations from the athletic world, you would say, in the Roman Empire, the Olympics and sports. Apostle Paul was a sports fan. In fact, I believe if he was alive today, he would be a Laker fan. Believe that. And this word that he uses, he says I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me of. This word lay hold means to seize. And the picture is of a football player chasing down the runner with the ball. He doesn't just want to grab him, but he wants to pull him down. You ever seen that when he goes to tackle? When they go to tackle, they don't want to just grab the person. They want to pull them down. That's the illustration that Paul uses. He says, listen, Jesus called me for a particular purpose. He didn't just save me for no reason at all. He didn't save me by accident. He didn't save me by coincidence. The Lord Jesus delivered me from hell and high water for a purpose. And I want to lay hold of that purpose. I want to seize that purpose. I want to grab it and I want to pull it down. That's what Paul said. He said, I want to pull it down. He says, this is my new life verse. Personally, this is my new life verse. I want to spend my days laying hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. God didn't deliver me from no life sentence just so I could just come out here and enjoy life. God didn't just let me so I can go to McDonald's and Jack in the Box and have money in my pocket. Those are part of the benefits of serving the Lord, but that's not the main reason why God delivered me. He got a purpose for my life. He has a purpose for your life. He delivered you for a reason. He's delivered you for a reason. Some of y'all have lost your mind by now. Some of y'all just been straight crazy by now. You still a little bit crazy, but you ought to been way out there. And if only by the grace of God, and he delivered you for a reason, now you need to start asking the question, God, why? God, why? What is my purpose? How is it that I'm one of the few that are going to get to enter into 2018 when some people woke up in January and they ain't here today? Why? What is my purpose? I want to lay hold of that which you have laid hold of me for. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? That's my new life verse right there. Verse 13, he says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me. I'm forgetting, the one thing I do as I forget those things which are behind me. I don't know if you realize this or not. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. You got about 11 hours. I still use my fingers. You got about 11 and so hours before 2017 is what's behind you. Paul says, one thing I do is I forget what's behind me. The good, the bad, and the ugly. I leave it there. Has no room up here. There's no space right here for what was there. I leave it, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And the times I messed up, I leave it. The times I did good, I still leave it because I don't want to bring anything from there over into here because I want to live 2018. Get this. I don't want to live, ooh, this is a revelation right here. I don't know who this is for. I don't want to live in 2018, but I'm living 2017. Did anybody catch that? There's many Christians. It's 2017, and they're living out 1978. It's about to be 2000. Don't you go into 2018 with 1992 on your back. There are too many Christians. They living out 1982. They living out 1985. There's some of y'all living out 1993. I'm going to get one of y'all yet, right? And it's about to be 2018. Don't live out 1993 in 2018. God got something for you here. Over there is gone. And all right, y'all got away with some stuff back here. Praise God that, you know, he didn't hold court on you. Ooh, you don't want God to hold court on you. Because when God holds court on you, it could be at a stop sign. It's over. It could be at the store when God holds court. But he didn't, right? And God had mercy on you. You got away. Hey, praise God. Now, it's time to go over here. Don't live out today with yesterday. Does that make sense to anybody? He says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching towards those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. It's an upward call. I want you to get that. God has called you upward. It's an upward direction. It's not a downward call. It's not a backward call. And it's not a sideways call. Some of y'all have been acting sideways. It's not a downward call. It's not a sideways call. It's not a backward. It's an upward call. God is calling you upward. It's upward. That's why it's not easy, because it's upward. That's why you got to sweat sometimes, because it's upward. He's calling you upward. He's calling your family upward. He's calling your kids upward. So you're going up. Not down. Anywhere but up is the wrong way, my brother and sister. Anywhere but up is the wrong way. It's an upward call, man. And we didn't even deserve it. We did nothing to get it. He gives us this upward call. And the cultural illustration that Paul is drawing from is the Olympic Games and the Roman emperors, when you win a gold medal and the judge stands high on the platform. And in order to get your gold medal, the judge has to call you upward. God is saying, I got a medal for you. It's called a crown. Amen. It's called a crown, but you got to come upward for it. You can't go downward for it. You can't go backwards for it. It ain't back there. It's upward. It's upward. It says it's an upward call in Christ. And then last verse 15, he says, therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. Someone say mind. So everything that he described previously was actually a mentality. He describes a certain mentality in verses 12 through 14. And then in 15, he says, as many as be mature, have this mind. Have this mind. And he says, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. He says, I want you to, he describes a kingdom mentality in verses 12 through 14. And then he says, for all those that want to be mature, right, developed, you want to grow, you need to adopt this type of mentality, this type of mind. And if you're not thinking this way, then God will realign you. I come today for a realignment. Amen. I come today for a realignment. I want to talk to you today from the subject kingdom mentality. Kingdom mentality. And I want us to understand the importance of having the right mentality. How important a mentality is. Mentality is a powerful thing. It can make a weak person strong. It can make a strong person weak. Mentality is very, very important. It's crucial that you have the right mentality. When you think of success, when you think of obtaining success, success does not just come through ability, but success also comes through mentality. When you think of enduring, when you think of enduring something, endurance doesn't just come through physical strength, but it comes through having a certain mentality, right? There's been people like in the Holocaust, right? Little skinny elderly Jewish people that endured crazy things, right? Not because they were strong, not because they were buff, but because they had the right mentality. Mentality is so powerful. It will make a weak person strong or a strong person weak. You got to go into 2018 with the right mentality. Got to have the right mentality. Mentality. When you think of greatness, greatness is not begot just by skill or talent, but greatness is begot also through mentality. Mentality. I recently was watching how they retired the jersey of Kobe Bryant, who played on the Los Angeles Lakers in the NBA, and they retired his jersey, and Magic Johnson said that he was the greatest Laker that ever played. And what's interesting is when they go to talk about his greatness, they don't just talk about his ability to shoot a three-point shot. They don't just talk about his fancy footwork. They don't just talk about his fadeaway jump shots, right? But they use a term that's called the Mamba mentality. When they go to talk about his greatness, they don't talk about physical exploits only, but they also talk about his mentality. And he adopted this type of mentality that gave him the edge, or it gave him the ability to endure. It gave him the ability to press on. It wasn't just his physical prowess, but it was his mentality. Talking about mentality, the power of mentality. When you think of a lion, right? When you think of a lion, one automatically thinks of the king of the jungle, right? The king of the jungle. And because lion has somehow earned this title, this crown called the king of the jungle. But have you ever thought of how did the lion get this particular crown? Like where did he get this title from? How is it that he became the king of the jungle? When you think about it, when you really think about it, the lion is not the strongest animal in the jungle. The lion is not the fastest animal in the jungle. The lion ain't even the smartest animal in the jungle. The lion is not even the strongest or the biggest animal in the jungle. How did he get this particular title, the king of the jungle, if he's not the strongest, he's not the fastest, he's not the biggest, and he's certainly not the smartest? You know how he got it? I submit it to you. It's because of his mentality. They describe it as a killer instinct. They describe it as a killer mentality, right? When a lion sees an elephant, he doesn't automatically think, oh, how big that thing is. How am I going to overcome that thing? It's huge. He doesn't think that. When a lion sees an elephant, the first thing that comes to his mind is lunch. It's lunch. Why? because of his mentality, the way he views it, the way he approaches it. I want to submit to you that if you don't have the right mentality, you're not going to endure 2018. I want to keep it real with you that 2018 is not going to be a cakewalk. There's going to be trials. There's going to be temptations. The devil's going to throw a curveball at you. And in order to overcome, it's not about just having brute force or physical strength, but it's also about having a kingdom mentality. Mentality, kingdom mentality. Apostle Paul describes this kingdom mentality in Philippians chapter 3. And then he turns around and says, I want you to have this type of mentality. He says, for those that are mature, he says, I want you to be thus minded. I want you to have this mentality. What is a kingdom mentality? There's so much to be said about a kingdom mentality. I just want to give you a couple things that Apostle Paul says in this particular scripture. The first thing is that Paul stayed focused. He kept focused. Everybody say focus. Paul starts off at verse 13. He says, one thing I do. In the original language, this verse is what they call emphatic, meaning that he's yelling it like a coach. If it was the English language, he would put an exclamation mark on it to let you know that he's screaming this at us. He's not silently saying, one thing I do, one thing. No. He's like a coach here. He's saying, one thing, one thing, one thing. He's trying to prepare us for something. And he says, listen, I want you to learn by my example. One thing I do, not five things, not 10 things. But 20, not 20 things, but one thing. The new NLV translation says, I am focusing my energies on this one thing. Paul kept focused. And my brother and sister, if you're going to bust 2018 wide open, you got to get focused. You got to get focused. You got to focus your faith. You got to focus your mind. You got to focus your life. You got to focus. You got 10 hours to get back into focus. Some of us have got out of focus. And a life that is not focused is a weak life. Living with no focus weakens us and it scatters us. The enemy doesn't want us to be focused because he knows that if we're focused, we're treacherous to the kingdom of darkness. But if we're not focused, we're scattered. We're weakened. Have you ever talked to somebody that doesn't have any focus? They talk about everything. They start off talking about Earth, then they jump to Jupiter, then they jump to Mars, and then they end up on the Grand Canyon. Why is that? They're unfocused. They have no focus. Person who has no focus, they date everybody. Just date everybody. They just date everybody because they don't know what they want. They just date everybody. If someone's trying to date you and they've dated five people in the last 5 months, you need to run. You need to run because they don't know what they want. They lack focus. And let me just throw this in as a freebie. You want to know how the person you're dating, if the person you're dating from is from God? You want to know if the person you're dating is from God? Invite them to Chapel Change next Sunday. If they say no, they ain't from God. If they say yes, maybe. You still got to run some more tests on them. That's the problem with us today. We don't want to run no tests on nobody. We just accept them as they are. But that only God could just accept you as you are. You got to test somebody, my sister. You got to have a series of tests with the number two pencil and everything. I don't know who I said that for. I said that for somebody. Get focused, get focused, get focused. The Bible is full of men and women who were focused. And they were able to do great things for the Lord. King David, he cried out in Psalms. He says, one thing I desire of the Lord and one thing I will go after, that I might be in the presence of the Lord and seek his face in his temple. One thing, he says, one thing. For the most part of his life, he lived with focus. Jesus tried to give us focus. In Matthew 6:33, Jesus says, seek first, not third, not fourth, not fifth, seek first the kingdom of God, and everything else will be added unto you. He tried to give us focus, because the enemy don't want us to live with focus. We live a weak life, scattered life. So the first thing that we need to do as we go into 2018 is we got to stay focused. And the more focused you are, the stronger your life is. When you focus the rays of the sun, eventually it can burn up a paper. And if you focus it even more, it becomes a laser, and a laser can cut through steel. That's how I want, that's my prayer for us, is that we be so laser focused in 2018, we cut through anything that tries to cut through us. We cut through anything that tries to bull. You ain't bulldozing over us. No, we laser focus, and we about to cut you. Laser focus. The second thing that Paul says, he says, not only does he kept faith or kept focus, is that he let things go. Let things go. That's easier said than done, Paul. You wrote this from a prison cell, and you want me to let things go? If you want the victory, if you want complete freedom, if you want to walk in power, Paul, he had a gift. It was called the gift of letting things go. Let it go. Let it go. Paul, you don't understand. I've been hurt. I was abused in 1983. And it feels good just to hold on to it. Ooh. The act felt bad, but somehow the memory turned into some type of thing I can't let go. That's how you know the devil's in that. We're allowing the person who hurt us in 1983 to hurt us in 2017, and that person's long gone. Forgot all about you. Paul says if you're gonna have this kingdom mentality, you got to learn to let things go. That word, forgetting, it actually means to ignore. It means to not give attention to. In other words, the implication is when you go into 2018, sure enough, you're going to learn that 2017 is going to come and knock on your door. Did you catch that? The word forgetting doesn't necessarily mean altogether that you forget. I know I confused somebody right now. It means to ignore. It means to not give attention to. In other words, when you go into 2018, 2017 will come knocking on your door and say, let me in, let me in. Don't you know what I did to you and to that? Don't you know what happened? Don't you know nothing? Let me in. And you got to learn to say, no. I ain't opening that door. Because if I open that door, I got to let everybody in. Your mama, your daddy, everybody going to come up in here. And so you got to ignore. Shut the door. Touch your neighbor, say, shut the door. Don't let it in. Don't let it in. Every bad situation, let it go. Every time someone hurts you, I know it's hard, and I don't want to minimize the pain. I'm not minimizing the pain. I just know that the enemy wants to bind us to the past. I just know the enemy wants to bind us to the past, and Jesus wants to free us to the future. He wants to free us to the future. And so over and over again, the Bible teaches that the kingdom mentality lets it go. Just let it go. But it's going to come knocking. It's going to come knocking. Don't you know what she did? Don't you know what she said? Don't you know what she didn't do? Don't you know? And you got, don't you open that door. Don't you open. Don't you dare open. Don't let it in. Don't let it in. And some of y'all, them pains are so, they're deep. The pain is so deep that you're going to stop hearing the door at the knock, and you're going to look at the window, and it's going to start cracking at the window. It's a different sound at the window than it is at the door. You got to be able to discern that. Don't you open that window, because everybody will crawl up in that window. And next thing you know, you'll be living out 2017 in 2018. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. I want to remind you. I'm going to remind you of Isaiah 43. This is what God says. It says, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, look, look, look. He says, behold, I want you to get your attention. Behold, I will do a new thing. And hear me today, my brothers and sisters, with all that you let go, this is what you need. One of the things you need to let go. Some of y'all need to let go guilt and shame over your own mess up. Let it go. Some of you, the enemy wants to hold you into bondage over what you did. And listen, the reality is you are guilty. The reality is you messed up. The reality is you premeditated what you did. But guess what? That's why mercy is involved, because mercy from God is for the guilty. God already knows you're guilty. So he gives us his mercy to get us into 2018. And so I tell you, my brother, and I tell you, my sister, you need to let go of that shame over what you did, because what you did is not more powerful than the cross of Christ. It's not more powerful. Someone say, let it go. Drop it, drop it, drop it. Drop it, just drop it. Just drop it. Husband and wives, let me talk to you for a second. Girlfriend and boyfriends, fiance and fiance, don't you bring that argument back up next Wednesday that started last Wednesday. Do the math on that. Don't you bring that argument up next Wednesday that started last Wednesday. The moment you do that, you gotta catch yourself, You don't wanna live out 2017 in 2018. Let it go. Now, some of y'all spouses had a good opportunity to hit the person next to you and say, let it go, but you missed out. You missed out because you're afraid. It's okay. Just keep looking at me. Let it go, let it go, let it go. Someone say, let it go. Number three, put in work. Verse 14 or 13, Paul says, I stretch toward what is ahead. I stretch toward what is ahead. That word stretch, it means to put all your effort. It means to put forth your effort. It means to put forth your energy. It means that Paul was willing to put into the work to be all that God had called him to be. Work. Someone say work. That's a bad word for some of us today. Paul said, I put in the work. Another scripture, Paul says, he says, I worked more than everybody. I stretch. I put in the energy. I put in the work. I'm not looking for no handout. God ain't no genie. You don't just do everything I say for him to do. No. I work along with the grace of God that is working inside of me. I work. Put in work. Listen, it takes work to restore your marriage. It takes work to get your life back in order. You want the kingdom of God to be manifested in your life? It takes work. It takes work to lead your family. It takes work to be a husband. Amen. It takes work to be a wife. Amen. Are you willing to put in the work? Are you still looking for a handout? God ain't giving no more handouts in 2018. You got too many of them already. Got too many of them. I want to remind you that in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, Apostle Paul says you are to work out your own salvation. You are to work it out. I want to remind you of this. You are to work it out. That word work means to put forth energy. It means to bring something to its fulfillment. It means to bring something to its fulfillment. The word salvation is not necessarily talking about eternal salvation. This word salvation means restoration. It means wholeness. It means deliverance. It means to be whole. And it refers to the manifestation of your new life in Christ. This word salvation refers to the manifestation of what God is doing on the inside of you. God initially works on the inside of you, but eventually what's on the inside needs to come out. You can't just say you've been Jesus in your heart since 1985. If he's been up in there, he needs to come out. Let him out. So what Paul is teaching us here is that we need to work toward bringing out everything that God has put inside of us. We need to work toward that end. We need to pray toward that end. We need to sweat toward that end. We need to sometimes, you know, we need to work. God has placed something inside of you, my brother and sister, that is of value to the kingdom of God. There is no one like you in this universe. And God has put something inside of you that has been embedded in your heart. And the crazy thing is that you could die with that thing in your heart and it never comes out. What has God put inside of you? Don't allow the enemy to put dirt on what God has put inside of you. That's what the enemy's been trying to do. He's been trying to cover up what's inside of you with dirt of the world. The Lord is saying, listen, with the grace of God and some hard work, you need to bring out what I put in. That's your responsibility, to bring out what he put in. Today, across Chapel of Change, all three of our campuses, probably about 1,000 people will worship the Lord from Paramount, Long Beach, now Carson, 5 p.m. Tonight. About 1,000 people will worship the Lord. And you know, you see all this? Did you know all this started from with inside of me? All this was inside of me. I remember when I was in prison, I would sit down on my bunk and I would say, God, I know you got something for my life that is bigger than this. I remember being on my bunk saying, Lord, God, I feel it. I can't explain it, but I know you didn't save me from that craziness just to spend the rest of my life in this prison, but you got something inside of me. Lord, help me to bring it out. Help me to bring it out. Help me to manifest it. This didn't just happen out of nowhere. No. A group of people sacrificially and by faith begin to work by the grace of God. And now it is manifesting. But let it be an inspiration for you. What's inside of you that needs to come out in 2018? Work it out. Work it out. Don't let the devil put dirt on it no more. Don't let it. You got about 10 hours. You got about 10 hours. God is going to give you 2018 as a gift. He's going to give it to you as a gift. And you need to bring something out. You got to bring something out. You got to bring something out. There's something inside of you. There's jewels inside of you for the kingdom. There's jewels inside of you. And you got to bring it out. Lastly, as I wind it out, Paul not only worked it out, but he stuck it out. He says, verse 14, he says, I press toward the goal. I press. That word press means a long distance run. It means a long distance run under hostile fire. That's what it means. It means a prolonged pursuit or a long distance run under hostile fire. In other words, Paul was saying, listen, this thing that is ahead of me is so valuable that I'm willing and I'm able to walk through some fire to get it. willing to be busted on, willing to be fired on. That's what that word means. It's a long-term walk under hostile fire. In other words, that what's in front of you is so valuable that the enemy's going to try to snipe you before you get it. Spiritual snipers. That's why it's so important to put on the armor of God. Helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness that covers your heart and your main organs, because the enemy tries to shoot darts of low self-esteem and fear. And if he can get at your heart, he can get everything about you, but you got to put on your armor because you're going to be walking through hostile environment. Enemy don't want you to cross the finish line. He doesn't want you, so he busts on you. Busses on you. He sends temptations, and he sends situations, and he sends people. Sometimes he sends people as spies to spy out your freedom and says, man, no, she has gone too far with the Lord. No, she is real serious with the Lord. So let me send this person to distract her, because if the enemy can't deceive you, he'll distract you. If he can't deceive you, I look out in the crowd today, he hasn't deceived us. But the next thing he does is he tries to distract us so that we're doing things that really don't matter. Spending our energy on things that really don't matter, having conversations on things that don't matter, fighting battles that really don't matter. The enemy can't deceive you. He'll distract you, get you burnt out, get you to throw in the towel. But Paul says, listen, you got to be willing. You got to have that kingdom mentality to stick it out, because what's ahead of you is more valuable than what's behind you. It's more valuable. And so are you willing to stick it out? Are you willing to stick it out? Are you willing to endure? Are you willing to press forward? Are you willing to take on 2018? Are you willing to press in? Some of y'all have quit on God, but God has not quit on you. Some of y'all have quit on church, and we want to encourage you that Chapel of Change is not an ordinary church. That you can come and you can receive grace and receive mercy and receive healing and receive the discovery of your purpose in life, and that God wants to use your story for his glory, that you could come back to the church of God and you can dig around the jewels that are in your heart, and God will wipe away the dirt that has been trying to cover you up. But you got to be willing to stick it out. This is not God. Jesus doesn't want to be your boyfriend. He doesn't want to be your friend with benefits. He wants to be your main thing, right? He wants you to be faithful. The one word that the Lord has been putting in my heart that hopefully I'll preach about in 2018 is loyalty. Loyalty. God has really been putting, I think God is demanding loyalty from our generation, man. He's requiring loyalty. He wants us to be faithful. We've been faithful to everything else but him. We've been giving our life to everything else but him. We stuck it out like we stuck it out with him and her for a long time, and they beat us and misused us and we stuck it out with them. And yet when it comes to God and something goes wrong, we walk away and leave God all alone. And God is saying, when are you going to be loyal to me? When are you going to be faithful to me? I don't want just 5 years. I want your whole life. I want your whole life. When are you going to be loyal? When are you going to stick it out? Listen, you will win if you don't quit. You will win if you don't quit. And again, all you got to do is hold your breath, and 2018 is going to come. You made it by the glory of God. You made it. You made it. You endured. You endured. It's coming. It's coming. But will you stick it out this time around? Will you stick it out? Let's bow our heads. With every head bowed and every eye closed, just for a couple moments, I feel the presence of the Lord here. And I want us to reflect. I want us to reflect on how the Lord spoke to you today. Just for a couple moments while everybody remains seated, what was the Lord trying to get across to you? What was he saying to you? And how are you going to respond? Just for the next couple moments, let's bow our heads. Think upon those things.